You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
A major environmental milestone takes place tomorrow in Wisconsin. June 13th is the 50th anniversary of the Wisconsin state legislature creating the Wild Rivers Act.
The act designated wild rivers in Wisconsin, creating protections for some of the state's most scenic waterways. Part of the law itself reads, "It is in the interest of this state to preserve some rivers in a free-flowing condition and to protect them from development."
Joining us now to talk more about the Wild Rivers Act is Mark Peterson. He's the executive director of the Sigurd Olson Environmental Institute at Northland College in Ashland. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon.
So what specific protections does a waterway get if it's designated a wild river under this act?
Well, in protecting our rivers, we need to think that there are really two parts. First of all, there's the river itself. So what this law will do, or what it does, is it allows for the free-flowing condition of the river. No dams or artificial structures that might impede flow would be allowed. The impact of utility corridors must be minimized. There could be no new piers or docks put on the river, and that sort of thing. And then the other part of river protection has to do with the shoreline. So we think in terms of how do we protect the shoreline, and leaving vegetation alone within 150 feet of the bank is required of state-owned lands that go through, that the river flows through. They have to provide walk-in access only, no motorized vehicles, no maintained trails, that kind of thing along the stream bank. So the law really addresses both parts to river protection.
And what rivers are protected under this act?
There are five now. There were three that were originally put in the act in 1965, the Pike River in Marinette County, the Pine and Popple Rivers in Florence and Forest counties. And then more recently, we almost lost 40 years, but we jump ahead to about 2009. And then more recently, the Totogatick River in Bayfield, Burnett, and Washburn counties. And then a stretch of the Brunswiler River in southern Ashland County. So there are five now altogether in the state of Wisconsin.
Now, a lot of times on conservation and environmental regulation, you hear Wisconsin did something and then everybody else did it. Is this a case 50 years ago where Wisconsin was ahead of the curve, a trailblazer?
Well, this is a classic case of Wisconsin being a leader in the nation, and you could even argue perhaps even in the world when it comes to river protection, because in 1965, when Republican Representative David Martin introduced this into the assembly, which was a democratically controlled assembly, it passed unanimously both the assembly and then the Republican Senate, and Governor Warren Knowles signed the bill very quickly. It made us, Wisconsin, the first state in the nation to have a wild and scenic rivers law. And since then, in 1973, 8 years later, Minnesota passed a similar program, and they have about a half a dozen rivers and river stretches in their state. And then Oregon and Washington states also have something similar to protecting rivers. But then 3 years after we passed our act in Wisconsin, there was federal legislation proposed in 1968. Gaylord Nelson was involved in that. Walter Mondale also was a co-sponsor. And then that passed, and some speculate that the Wisconsin legislation was either an inspiration for that federal legislation, but also perhaps served parts of it as a template for what was to come from the federal government.
So what do residents of Wisconsin gain from having these wild rivers and the protections they get in our state?
Well, I think we need to think of wild rivers as perhaps an endangered resource, but a natural resource just like timber, just like clean air, just like wildlife. In this case, we've lost most of our streams from a wild state as they've been developed or changed or used for hydro dams or other industrial uses. And so what we've gained really is to hold on to some of this remnant of our heritage going back over 100 years ago when there were many more of these wild streams in Wisconsin that really kind of helped build the state from those early log drives in the early 1900s. But I think today the values that they give us would be things like certainly the natural and scenic values, as I mentioned, some of the history of these rivers in shaping our state, so their historical and cultural values. And, of course, more and more today we find recreational values on these rivers, people being able to get out and enjoy them and have a different experience than most other parts of the state. And really, to those values, I'd also add, in the way of tourism, economic values. I think Marinette and Florence County particularly have promoted their wild rivers to the benefit of the counties. In fact, in Florence now, there's a Wild River Interpretive Center, which will be the site of the celebration tomorrow of the Wild Rivers Act. And they have, I think, established something like 15 new signs around a 100-mile loop of these wild rivers that point out to the people as they approach these rivers that these are wild river rivers in Wisconsin. And so they're using it really to create kind of a special experience for the visitors to their county.
Talking to Mark Peterson about Wisconsin's Wild Rivers tomorrow, the 50th anniversary of the state's Wild Rivers Act, having special protections for originally three. Now it sounds like five waterways here in the state. Mark, scientific value, are these wild rivers useful to researchers as a comparison maybe to the non-wild rivers?
Well, I think certainly they are, in that they've really kept intact these ecosystems that have been largely altered. For the most part, along these wild rivers, we don't, for example, have the extent of invasive species that have cropped in and changed the ecosystem, and most of the component parts of these ecosystems are still to be found there. So, in a sense, they're almost a relic of sorts, a little bit of a time machine that allows us to go back over 100 years ago and largely experience and see what was there before there were a great number of alterations made. So they're great laboratories for understanding both the flora and the fauna of these special systems. And because the rivers themselves protect different ecosystems in the state, we have, you know, marshes, we have dense woodland, we have different kinds of riparian areas that protecting these rivers, they really provide us with a smorgasbord of different ecosystems that are being preserved for study for a better understanding of these wild resources.
Mark, the protections you mentioned are in the water, on the shoreline, but I know some threats can come from further away. Are there challenges to keeping up these rivers and maintaining their state, given you mentioned invasive species, maybe pollutants that come from a greater distance?
Well, certainly, as with any natural resource in today's world, we find more and more we're interconnected both throughout the state, but with other states, and in fact globally. You know, here on Lake Superior, one of the greatest sources of toxic pollution is airborne sources coming from as far away as Asia. So there's no way to put a kind of a glass jar around these special places. But to the degree that we have the means through law to recognize special values in the state and then develop prescriptions that these places can be largely preserved within, you know, reasonable means, I think we're well served to think about that and move on protection in those ways.
Has there ever been talk of adding still more waterways to the Wild Rivers Act?
Well, they are. The interesting thing about the Wild Rivers Act, it's largely been, with the exception of the first three rivers, it's really largely been a citizen-driven process. And so as local citizens see the value in protecting some of these wild segments of our rivers and wild streams, they can propose that to their legislator, and it can work through the system for establishment. I know one of the areas that there's been some talk about is that most of the St. Croix River, for example, is preserved in this case, mostly under federal ownership with the National Park Service. But perhaps one of the most historic segments of the St. Croix River, the first 8 miles in the headwaters up near the Brule River, was a very important historical segment where voyagers would come up the Brule River from Lake Superior, and then they portage only over about 2 miles and could drop down into the St. Croix River, and from there head on all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Those 8 miles of the upper St. Croix have no protection. It's complicated a little bit in that there's a railroad segment that goes along part of it, but perhaps that's an opportunity if local citizens wanted to get together and promote that.
Mark, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Mark Peterson, Executive Director of the Sigurd Olson Environmental Institute at Northland College in Ashland. He joined us to talk about the 50th anniversary of the Wild Rivers Act here in Wisconsin.
I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.